Hürkün oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Tuni sonsun hukçum durbulan. Dadaş doldan durbulan morulay.
What's up, people? Adam Hunter here. I'm on the road. I'm in Calgary, but I'm still giving you podcasts because I love you guys, and you guys make my life better, and I want to make your life better too. So we have great guests today. We have undefeated fighter from Israel, Nathan Levy, who just won the LFA last week. He kicked some butt. Nathan Levy, he's out of Syndicate in Vegas, but he hails from Israel. We're going to talk to him. We're also going to talk to Eddie Wineland, who had a huge win last week at UFC 238. Love Eddie Wineland. And Luis Smolka, who's always entertaining. So we got some stars today. It's going to be awesome. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, marijuana is legal in California. It's legal, okay? So get it delivered right to you. Don't leave the house, okay? You can get into car accidents, gas, insurance. You go to a dispensary. There's all kinds of hot bud tenders who are like, try this, try that, try that. You get in your car. You get pulled over. Now you got a DUI, okay? No. Go to speedweed.com. They have everything from THC sex lube to edibles to marijuana coffee to marijuana, you name it. Marijuana beef jerky, okay? They got it. Go to speedweed.com. Mention roasted. You get $100 off. Orders $100 or more. Also, I want to talk to you about Nature's Oils Online. Listen, people. I got to talk to you about nature'soilsonline.com. Okay, because they are the best CBD you're going to get. A lot of people are hesitant to try hemp-derived CBD oil because they just don't know where to start. There are so many different products and brands, hard to know which product's right for you, how much to take, when to take it, how to know if you're getting too much, all right? But this family-owned business, family-owned, you got to support the families, okay? They not only provide the highest quality U.S.-grown hemp-derived CBD products, but they also give personal guidance on choosing the right product and finding a dose that works for you. Their hemp is grown in the U.S. without the use of pesticides and is mixed with organic MCT coconut oil. Each batch is third-party lab tested for potency and purity, and the results are posted on their website. They have a variety of products, including full-spectrum or whole-plant hemp oil extract, hemp-derived isolate tinctures, hemp and emu oil pain balm, which I need, and full-spectrum CBD dog chews. And when I tell you, I give this up to my dog is so much happier and friendlier and more relaxed, okay? All their products are available on www.naturesoilsonline.com and include free shipping within the continental U.S. Call them directly and ask questions at 469-525-3131. As a special offer for listeners of the show, Nature's Oils is offering a 10% discount of their already reasonable prices, okay? When calling out online or enter, mention discount code ADAM10 to get 10% off, okay? Check them out. It's Michelle and Christian, really nice people. All right, thank you. Let's talk to Nathan Levy.
Hello, is this Nathan Levy?
Hi, yeah, speaking.
Yes, how are you? I'm talking to the great Nathan Levy, undefeated fighter, just won his last fight. Now you're, what, 4-0, 5-0, 10-0?
4-0.
4-0 from Israel, my motherland. How are you, man? How do you feel?
I'm doing great, thank you. How's it going?
It's going good, man. So you were born and raised in Israel?
I was born in Paris, but I moved to Israel when I was about 2 months old.
Okay, you're born in Paris. You grew up in Israel. What was it like growing up in Israel?
Very different from America. I can't really know, an American kid's life is like, but mine was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Now, my dad always told me when I was growing up that Israeli women are the best because they're surrounded by six different countries that try to blow them off the map. So they're fearless. So they're like nuts in bed. Is this true?
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, good. Very good. So did you start training in Israel or did you serve in the Israeli military?
I started training when I was 14.
Yep.
Started doing some karate and kung fu. Super hardcore, all out, completely in. The moment I started, I couldn't stop. And Been doing it ever since. Came to the U.S. when I was 22.
Wow.
Didn't know anybody. Just wanted to be a fighter.
Wow. So you served in the Israeli military?
No, I didn't, because I'm an athlete.
Really? You would think they would want the athletes. You would think they want to bring them in.
Depends. Some of them get a pass.
Right. Got it. So, now Kung Fu, you're a black belt in Kung Fu. Now, you don't see that much Kung Fu done in the UFC or in MMA. Do you think Kung Fu works, or is it a good skill to have?
I think it's a good skill to have, but not for MMA. You know, I think it's a great skill to develop yourself and like as a movement, art of movement. You know, if people can do yoga, why not do Kung Fu? But as in for MMA, I don't know. I never really used anything I learned other than a few kicks, you know.
Right. But you're also a black belt in Jiu-Jitsu.
No, in Jiu-Jitsu, I'm a blue belt.
Blue belt.
Yeah.
Got it.
So just the beginner.
You came here. Now, why did you pick Las Vegas?
It's the fight capital of the world. You know, every time I was sitting at home in Israel at 5 a.m., watching the fights live, and everything was in Vegas, so I just bought a plane ticket to Vegas.
Wow. And so you came by yourself. You didn't know anybody.
No, I didn't.
Wow. And then you walked into Syndicate MMA?
I actually met my striking coach, Jimmy Giff, first. So he brought me to Syndicate.
Got it. And now were people like kind of testing you a little bit? Were they kind of weren't like looking at you like, who is this guy and what's going on? Or was everyone really nice to you?
Yeah, for sure. So it was a completely different crew at Syndicate back then. I think it's a good thing.
But, yep.
You know, I was basically weird because, like, nowadays when I see some dude come into the gym and start to try some Kung Fu shit, I'm going to think, who is this weirdo? So I was that weirdo for a while.
Got it. So you came in. Now, how did you have enough money? Did you have to get a job in Vegas?
No, I couldn't. And, you know, I came to train full time, so I just saved up some money in Israel. I had plenty of karate students.
Right.
I was doing really well. But I couldn't feel, you know, at 22 that I was teaching all day karate. I didn't feel like I was done yet. I felt like I was getting out of shape and teaching all day, and I was just too young for that.
Yeah, now that's right. So you're like, you know what? I'm going to go to L.A. I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to move there. You found an apartment or a house?
Yeah, I found some Israeli guys that were had an apartment, and I jumped in for the first couple of weeks, and then I found a fighter house.
Oh, so they're like Syndicate had a fighter house. So who
were
some of the fighters that you lived with?
I lived with Fritz and Paishao.
That guy's a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
That's okay. So you're at the fighter house, you're at Syndicate. Now Syndicate's kind of a funny gym. You got Mike Pyle, who's from, you know, Tennessee. And then you have John Wood, who's now dating Bad Mofo Jojo. You have Vinny Magalish. You know, you had Roxanne Modafari, right?
Yeah.
And then you had you from Israel.
Yeah, it's a melting pot.
The melting pot. Now, and then Jessie Jess is there too, right?
Yeah, for a while, yeah.
Yes. Did you ever hit on her? She's a very attractive girl.
No, I'm married. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, all right. You're married. When did you get married?
In April.
In April?
Yep.
Nice. Who did you marry?
Just some girl.
I'm sure she's really happy about that.
Yeah, my wife, Dana.
Did you meet her in Vegas or in Israel?
In Israel. It's a funny story, actually. I met her like 7 years ago. And, you know, when we got together, I told her, listen, a year from now, I'm going to leave everything here in Israel, and I'm going to move to Vegas to become a fighter. Back then, I was a karate instructor. And I was like, if you're cool with it, then we can be together, but just know that I'm going to leave. And she came with me. She's here with me now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, all right. And then so she's the one. So, like, you knew. I mean, what was it about this girl? I assume a handsome-looking Israeli karate expert must get a lot of women. But what was it about this one?
She was the only one that would actually look at me, so,
She was the only one. That's it. It was just her.
Yeah.
Come
there
on.
Wasn't so many options.
That can't be true.
No.
That can't be true.
She's everything I ever looked for in a woman.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. Now, I hear a lot of Israeli men are very aggressive towards women. When they like a woman, they're like, hey, you, come here. But you seem very shy and, like, you know, bashful and very respectful. You know,
Yeah, different people, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so. Do you miss Israel at all?
Yeah, I really do. But I get to, you know, come and hang out for a couple of weeks every now and then.
Got it. Now, your last fight, it went the distance. The guy was tough, though. What was it about this guy that kind of gave you problems?
First, you know, the biggest problem was basically my opponent changed the day of weigh-ins. I was supposed to fight a 3-0 guy from Guatemala. From Guam. And, you know, Nick Battis jumped in, took the fight. He had a different opponent, I had a different opponent, so it was a roller coaster for both of us. But, you know, he definitely earned my respect from taking the fight and showing up to fight.
But, yeah, that's got to be – you're training for one guy, and then all of a sudden they throw a different guy at you. That's hard. Now, what do you think you need to work on the most after watching your performance and after analyzing your performance?
You know, my hands, I think, my boxing, I've been working on it a lot. It has improved a great deal, but it's still not where it needs to be right now. So we're going to continue working on it. You know, I work everything all the time, obviously. I'm an MMA fighter. But right now, this is the biggest hole. And other than that, I got to keep working my strengths, too, and everything else.
Well, I mean, you got the win. I mean, you're 4-0. You got the win. And a lot of times, like, going the distance is good. You get a lot of these guys, they get to 4, 5, 6-0, but they just fight a bunch of scrubs. And then when they get tested, they fall apart.
Yeah, I agree, 100%.
Now, how far away do you think you are from being on the Contender or being at the Bellator or the PFL?
You know, the Contender, I think, is done for this year. I think they already have all their fights booked. So it would have to be a year from now. But I would love to fight a few more times and sign during the year. You know, I don't need to wait for Contenders.
Right. Now, are you the best fighter coming out of Israel right now?
No, there are some good fighters out there, you know. There's a Bellator vet, Noad Lat. You know, he's been the only fighter right now that's been in the UFC from Israel.
Yep.
You got a lot of up-and-comers, you know, good fighters. They'll be starting to pop soon in the international scene, you know.
Yeah, of course. Now, I'm Jewish, but I'm not, like, very religious, but, you know, definitely Jewish, more by guilt than anything else. are you a practicing Jew? Did you observe the Sabbath, or are you just kind of Jewish in theory, and you are Jewish, but you're not? How religious are you?
I grew up in a pretty traditional household.
Right.
So, eating kosher and, you know, not touching electricity or money on Saturday on the Sabbath.
Wow.
But right now, no, I'm not religious at all. I respect the tradition. I respect my family who are traditional, but I'm completely not religious.
Got it. Of course. Yeah, my wife is Christian, so she's very Christian. She goes to church and this and that. So we have a baby, and she wants to raise the baby Christian, but also Jewish. But now I got to become more Jewish to kind of even out. So she's half.
Hey, twice as many holidays, can't complain.
That's true. That's it. Right. That's good. My wife does love the holidays. So that's cool. Have you ever thought about changing your name to GSP?
What's that?
Have you thought about changing your nickname to GSP instead of GSP? You could be GSP. No.
No, I didn't. It's a good idea. I'll think about it.
What is your nickname?
I don't have one.
Oh, you gotta think of a nickname. I mean, the Hebrew Hammer is taken. But,
yeah, the Hebrew Hammer is taken by every Israeli fighter ever.
What about like the Kosher Killer? Or
that's a good one.
The Ashkenazi Assassin.
If no? I were Ashkenazi.
Oh yeah. You're a Sephardic.
Yeah.
Oh, the Sephardic. I don't know. What's something with it, like a Sephardic scary man or something? I don't know. There's got to be something. We'll think about it. We'll think about it.
Yeah.
Of course, of course, of course. Now, who do you want to fight next? Are you calling anybody out?
No, not really. I just want to improve, you know, and get back in there. I don't really mind against who.
Do you have a manager or an agent that, like, sets up your fights?
Yeah, I'm managed by Iradium.
Oh, nice. They're good. I like them.
Yeah.
And they sponsored, remember, my wrestling team. I coach a wrestling team for little kids, and they sponsored us one year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice. Well, that's good. Now, how hard was it to catch up in wrestling? Because you're basically a karate guy and a kung fu guy, and wrestling's huge in America. I don't know how big it is in Israel. How hard was it to kind of compete?
It was real hard because, you know, when I first came here, I really had no ground at all. So I don't even think I got to wrestling until like a year in or something, because at first it was all jiu-jitsu. And I really enjoyed it, and I really fell in love with it, and I knew how important it was for me. So I started doing it like twice a day. No matter what other training I have that day, I could have three other sessions, but I'll get two jiu-jitsu sessions in.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I had to go and come back to Israel because of the visa. But every time I came back, I did that and slowly improved, you know. And, you know, a big shift for me in my last fight was, in my last fight, I really, since I've improved so much in jiu-jitsu, I kind of started to let people take me down because I was trying to submit them, and I got used to when somebody tries to take me down, he ends up tapping, so why not?
Right.
And it didn't go my way in my prior fight. I spent the whole first round on the bottom and basically lost the round. Couldn't get a submission. So for this fight, I really changed my mindset into wrestle and work hard to not be on my back and to be on top, and I think it showed.
That's great. That's great, man. That's good. Yeah, I always get worried about guys that are like, oh, I'll let them take me down. Let's see if this, I'm like, ah. No,
yeah.
not
when it doesn't go your way, it's really bad.
Yeah. Even if you like, and you don't get points for trying out submissions. You know,
yeah,
if you're
exactly.
On your back and throwing up triangles and stuff, Kimura is great, but it doesn't matter. Like, this other guy on top is still getting the points. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. That's cool. I'm happy that you have a nice Israeli wife. Do you have any kids? Do you guys want to have kids? Do you have any kids?
Not right now. You know, right now I'm really focused on the career and being able to train full time and not changing diapers. So we got some time.
Yeah, of course, of course. And now, is John Wood your head coach?
Yeah, that's right.
He's a nice guy. Isn't he a nice guy?
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he's a great coach. He's a really great coach. And by the way, thanks for coming to my comedy show when I was in Vegas last time. That was really nice of you.
Of course.
I'll be back there fight weekend if you want to come on fight
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, I got you. I got you, my friend. I got you. Well, listen, Nathan Levy, it was an honor. A pleasure. I can't wait to see you and your rest of your career. You're a young guy. You're undefeated. You're killing the game, man. You're killing it. So keep it up. Where can people follow you on Instagram and Twitter?
Nathan Levy on Instagram, NATAN_LEVY. And Twitter is Levy_Nathan. And thank you very much for having me, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Take care, Nathan. Have a great rest of the week.
You too. Thank you, man.
All right, so I'm talking with the great Eddie Weinland, coming off a huge win last week. Congratulations, man. That was awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it, man. I needed that one.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, though, man, I think he was like undefeated, right? Maybe one loss. But he was a he had some chin.
What's your phone? It's kind of breaking up a little bit. It's cutting in and
okay,
out.
Okay, hold on. Let me one sec. I'm going to go outside. All right. Here we go. The guy you fought. That guy had some chin, no?
Yeah, you know what? I've hit people not as hard, and they've fallen down, you know? I mean, I hit that dude, I mean, with everything I had. I hit him with the first time I connected with a clean right. And, I mean, he didn't quite shake it off, but I could see he wasn't wobbled. It was right then and there. I knew it was gonna be a 3-4 fight punch. It's gonna take to finish this guy because I've got the one hit and quit power for a 135 pounder, and to hit that guy full blast and have him just kind of stand there. Yeah, okay, this is gonna be a little tougher than I thought.
I mean, is that people say that's the most frustrating thing in MMA or sports is to hit a guy as hard as you can and have him not go anywhere.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't say frustrating, but you have to reset and realize, like I said, I knew it wasn't going to be a one and done with this guy. It was going to have to be a volume. You know, there was going to have to be multiple punches in order to finish this guy and put him away. And ultimately, that's what it took.
Now, were you nervous because you were coming off two losses that one more loss might have got you cut?
Absolutely not. You know, I felt better in this training camp. A couple of the interviews I did before is the last time I felt this good in a training camp was probably Scott Jorgensen. You know, it was – I'm going to go in there and have fun. You know, one of two things are going to happen. I'm going to win or I'm going to lose. So either way, let's go in and have fun. You know, I'm not going in there with the I'm going to lose mentality, but – I mean, let's face reality. You're going to win or you're going to lose. If you get overconfident, over cocky, well, then you kind of tend to overlook things. And just because this guy was a day one guy, you look at his record of 13-1, 9-fight win streak. Now, I understand he's not fighting UFC-level competition, but there's a reason that the UFC brought this guy in. They saw something in him. So whether it be the day one guy or the champion, I'm not going to overlook him. And take every fight as it's my toughest.
Well, now what fight have you ever had like where you thought, okay, I got this going in? Was there ever a fight where you're like, man, this is going to be an easy fight or an easier, and the guy surprised you? And then on the reversal, have you ever thought, man, this is the biggest challenge of my life, and the guy just wasn't that good?
So as far as like thinking that the fight wasn't going to be that hard, I mean, I got to look back to my early days. I mean, back in like 2003, 2004, 2005, I fought a guy from Wisconsin, and back before you didn't have the internet, you didn't know shit from apple butter when it came to who you're fighting. So I fought this guy, and it was kind of the same thing. I mean, I hit this guy with everything I had, and he just kept coming. Finally, eventually put him away, but it was one of those instances where it was like, man, this is going to be easy. And it wasn't, you know, and now being in the UFC, I don't ever think a fight's going to be easy. I don't think that I'm going to absolutely walk through a guy. And if I feel like I'm going to walk through somebody, I'm not fighting the right people. I need to be fighting people that's going to test me. And I don't think it's any secret that I want to fight the best. I mean, Uriah Faber, Brad Pickett, Scott Jorgensen, Joseph Benavidez, a laundry list of top 135 pounders in the world, and I asked for them all. You know, they weren't ever the Uriah Faber was an offered fight, but the other guys I asked for them because that's what I wanted. I wanted the top guys. I wanted to test myself, and I want a hard fight. I'm not there just to walk through my opponents.
Is it because you're married? If you're single, you want life to look good in front of the girls.
Like, what's that?
Maybe because you're married, and you're like, my wife will love me no matter what. But if you were single, you'd rather just crush everybody.
you know, even back when I was single, you know, I wanted to go out and I wanted to have a war, you know, because yeah, if you go out and you crush everybody, it looks good. But I mean, to me, going through a war and testing yourself, I think that shows more of your personality and that you learn more about yourself by going through that battle versus just walking through somebody.
How frustrating was John Dodson? Because he's like 3'4".
Oh, man.
He flies everywhere.
that dude was so freaking fast. It was ridiculous. So for that fight, I mean, I was training with the fastest people in our gym. And, I mean, they're no slouches. They're fast dudes. They're 125, 135 pounders, super fast guys. And after I got done with that fight, I looked at him. I said, man, you guys are fast, but you do not compare to this guy. You do not compare. I mean, I think I threw maybe 3 punches that entire fight, and one of which connected, and the other ones, I couldn't throw punches because I couldn't find the dude. He was in and out so fast, and that's where I should have been a little bit smarter, and I should have pressured him a little bit more, but it is what it is. I've been fighting for a long time, and I should have realized that, and I didn't. I had one thing on my mind, and that one thing was I need to connect on this guy so I can knock him out.
Yeah,
and
right.
when you can't find the guy, you can't connect. So I think a little bit of pressure might have helped me in that fight, and might have helped me to get where I needed to be.
Now, they were saying that you, like, went, like, an all-carb diet for this fight. You changed up.
Yes. So I tried keto for my last fight. So anybody who does keto that is a high-intensity athlete, if it works for you, great. But I can't see it working for anybody that's a high-intensity athlete. That diet is just – it's such crap, man. It's such low energy, I couldn't get going. So for this fight – I brought in the brown rice. I brought in the whole grain breads, sweet potatoes. I ate more carbs for this fight, I think, than I've eaten for all of my fights combined. And my weight stayed lower. My conditioning went skyrocketing because I had energy. I actually had energy to go to the gym and train this time versus dragging my ass in the gym because I realize I have to fight another human being in a cage. So it's a necessary evil of going to the gym, but I don't feel like it because I don't have any sustenance in my body. Well, it all came down to the timing side of things of carbohydrates for breakfast. And then immediately after working out, protein and carbohydrates versus the keto crap. And, my body responded amazing to it.
That's awesome. I'm sure your wife was happier too. You probably had more energy.
Oh, dude. Yes. And if you ask her, she tells me every time I start a training camp, she goes, oh, great. Now you're going to be a bitch. So this camp, I won't say that I was very pleasant, but
right.
a whole lot easier to get along with than when I'm eating just spinach and, you know, just the, like I said, the keto crap. No carbs. I feel is no good.
Yeah, of course. And that's just,
I quickly realized it. Well, I also too. So I used to do the roller coaster dieting of after a fight, I'd do nothing but eat pizza and Reese's and I'd go straight for the candy. Right. I always tell myself that I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that anymore. And I throughout the fight diet, by the end of the 8 weeks, it's like, oh, well, this is easy. Now I can just keep going. It never happens that way. So
right.
I was injured with that Jones fracture coming off of my Perez fight. And the end of last year, like November, December, I told myself that I'm going to do this, okay? I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to do a clean whole foods type diet. No refined sugars. And when I say no refined sugar, they're like granola bars here and there. Yeah, they got a little bit of sugar in them, but it is what it is. I'm not eating candy bars. I haven't had anybody who knows me, Reese's is my huge thing. I haven't had a Reese's peanut butter cup in probably 7 months. So I kicked all of the sugars and I started going with whole foods, and it just made the eating portion and my weight control so much easier.
I come from a college wrestling, high school wrestling. I used to just, you know, lose 15 pounds a week, and I would, you know, sleep with the window open and try to shiver at night and
right.
sit in a cup all day or
yep.
sleep with like 19 layers on. And
yeah. You see, you understand the struggle.
Yeah, but it was so unhealthy, and I was so miserable. Somebody bumped into me. I would want to fight them. I smelled bad. My breath was terrible. My lips were black. You know,
yeah.
it was awful.
Absolutely.
So it's nice to hear that. But that was before the internet, and there was no nutritionists. No one gave a fuck about Division III wrestling.
Sure. You're just kind of winging it, man.
Yeah, and then two kids died. They were jump roping in the shower with the steam on, and they passed out.
Yeah.
Then that changed everything after that.
Sure, sure.
But I would have been right there with them. It's doing, you know, it's like, I'm sure you know, when you're like, oh, I got to make the weight, all logic goes out the window.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that was, like I said, changing my diet up to the whole foods, So normally pre-fight camp, I'm walking around at anywhere from 156 to 158. And this time, pre-fight camp, I was walking around at like 152, somewhere around there. So it was so much easier to manage my weight. And again, eating good whole foods and foods that I like to eat. And I have since this last week, I've had pizza once or twice. But I haven't done the sugars, and I haven't done the crap food, and I haven't done the junk. I'm still sticking with the good whole foods, and I think that's just there to stick for now.
What's crazy about you is you have like the Joe Riggs effect, where like I assume you're 67 years old by like how much you fight, but you're young. What, you're 34, 35?
I'm going to be 35 here in about 2 weeks.
So, I mean, do you feel like you're as strong and fast as you were when you were 21, 22?
Stronger and faster for sure. I as you get older, you tend to get a little bit smarter, or at least you should get smarter. And
yeah.
It's taken me 15 years to do so, but I listen to my body now. When I need a rest day, and when I just don't feel like going to the gym, I don't go to the gym. I sit at home. I'll do busy stuff. I'll get on a treadmill and go for a jog. I'll do busy work to stay active, but I don't go to the gym. I'll take 3 days of training at 100% versus 6 at 60. You know, so
right.
if I'm training at 60%, my body is now used to working at 60% versus if I'm working 3 days a week at 100%, then my body's used to 100% efficiency, and that's where things have changed for me, and I've realized it's okay to take a rest day. If you need a rest day, it's okay.
That's now during the day, you're a firefighter?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, I wouldn't say during the day, but, so my schedule, the schedule that I work is I do a one on, one off, one on, one off, one on, four off. So we do 24-hour shifts. It's a paid department. And, honestly, without that job, it'd be hard for me to be a full-time fighter. I put in about 110, 115 days a year as a firefighter. We have working equipment there, treadmills, stuff like that. So obviously firefighting is a physical job. They want you to stay in shape. So I do my active rest days while I'm there. And then the 265 days that I'm not there, I'm at my strength and conditioning gym, or I'm doing some sort of training, wrestling, grappling, boxing, whatever it may be.
How do you stay up for 24 hours? Are you just Adderall Central?
It's not bad. It depends. It depends on the day. Last night we had a pretty good windstorm come through, so the tones were going off majority of the night. You know, you get a couple of nights where the tones will go off about every 2 to 3 hours, and that makes for a long day the next day.
How much of these fires are caused by idiots with cigarettes or?
Well, we run medical calls also, so because we're all EMTs, we're EMT firefighters. So we run a lot of medicals. About probably 80 to 85% of the calls we run are medicals, heart attacks, car crashes, stuff like that. I call them poopy diaper calls. People just call in 911 because they got an upset stomach or they rolled their ankle. We get quite a few of those. You'd be surprised how many people call because they've got an upset stomach or a fever or it blows my mind, man. It blows my mind. We've had people call 25-year-old kids that, I'm going through alcohol withdrawals. Well, no, you're not going through alcohol withdrawals because you drank last night. You're just hungover and you can't handle it.
So how many have you ever had any Viagra calls? Like a guy like the more than 4 hours?
No. We have yet to have that one, and I'll respectfully bow out of that.
All right. Now, I saw a recorded video where the girl calls and she's like, "I need help," and then started banging the ENT guy. Has that ever happened with you? Or?
No. I have pulled some the stereotypical cat out of a tree. I've done that a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We've had a couple of those calls where their cat. I don't know. How the heck does a cat get up a tree and can't figure out how to get down? You got claws, right?
Right.
If you can climb the tree, you can get down. You call 911. Sooner or later, that cat's gonna come down.
It's not gonna
come down, or it's not gonna eat for a few days, and it's gonna get lightheaded. And it's gonna pass out and fall out of the tree.
Do you have to go get the cat? You have the ladder and everything?
Yeah, there was a couple of times that I've had to do that.
Did the cat attack you, or was the cat pretty cool?
No, so obviously we put our bunker gear on and big thick gloves, and they kind of grab a hold, but you grab them by the back of the neck there and hang on to the leg, right?
Yeah, I saw the Animal Planet one time, and it was like animal rescue, and the guy had an alligator in his garage, in his bathtub in Florida. And of course, it got too big, and he called the animal people. And said, "I don't know how it got there." It was like a 4-4 walk-up. Like, so I was laughing pretty hard. He claimed he had no idea how the alligator got into his bathtub.
We've had that before. Somebody had a pet alligator, and it got too big, and they let it go in the lake. You know, people are saying, "Oh, I've seen an alligator. And all that. Yeah, you're full of shit. Dude, there was an alligator in the lake.
No way.
Yeah, they let it go. They let it go in the lake. Because
did
it got too big, they couldn't handle anymore. I didn't go get it. The station I work at doesn't run the water calls.
Oh,
So, yeah, we get all the overdoses and the upset stomachs.
Did people recognize you from your fighting and call you for EMT?
A few times I get recognized out there. I think if I were a little more active, I think I would get a little more recognition. But there's the people that we see on the streets. Hey, is your last name Wineland? Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you
that's
get that
awesome.
From time to time.
So who do you want to fight next? Can you call anybody out?
No, you know, it's I'm past the point of calling people out. I'm over that. Like I said, I'm 35 years old. Maybe another good 2 or 3 years, depending on how my body responds over the next couple of years. So, I mean, anybody. I mean, if you want the day one guy, or if you want me to fight the champion, it is what it is. At this point, yes, I'm chasing the belt, but I'm more concerned about the money. And I'm 35 years old. I'd like to own my house, so I'd like to pay my mortgage off by the time I'm done fighting. So at this point, it becomes about the money.
Well, listen, Eddie Wineland, you're an awesome fighter, awesome guy, a real role model. You know, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Anytime, man. You just hit me up, and we'll do it again.
I love it. Thanks, Eddie. Take care.
All right, Adam. See ya.
Hello.
What's up, Adam?
What's up, Lewis? How are you, man?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
Are you naked? What's going on?
I have my child on my lap. I'm not naked.
I didn't see your child. Man, how old are you? You're like 19 years old. You have a child already?
I'm 27, bro.
I'm
almost 28.
You Hawaiians, you guys start so early, man.
Bro. I'm Asian, dude. I just look like I don't age.
Aren't you from Hawaii?
Yeah. Hawaii guys have kids early. I had my kid when I was 24. That's not even that early.
I actually met your wife at the fight, right? She was like short.
Yeah.
Short, hot, drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
She's a tiny Asian girl. She's hanging around with like the other Asian girls.
She was tiny, but she was very loud, like very big, you know. And she, I was like, "Hey, you come over to the show later?" You're like, "I'm gonna check with my wife," and she was like, "So
yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
So that's her.
So you guys living in Orange County now?
Yeah.
Now, how do you like it?
It's pretty sick, man. Like it's kind of like Hawaii, dude. It's not too bad. There's a lot of Asian people around here. There's like some Hawaii people out here. Coaches from Hawaii. I noticed that our culture's been kind of appropriated out here. Hawaii seems to be like the cool thing. Like,
yeah.
Dude, like I don't know. We drove around like Newport and there's all these like tiki themed bars and like aloha stuff and like I was like, dude, you guys appropriated our culture.
Now, are you mad at that? Are you not really mad at that? Are you?
No, I don't care. I was going to take advantage, dude. I was going to say, babe, let's open up a Hawaiian restaurant. She loves to cook. Let's take advantage, man.
Well, look, man, you're a guy, you know, you've been to the top, and then you went back to the bottom, and now you're back at the top again. You're a guy that really, like, I give you a lot of credit, man. A lot of credit.
Dude, there's one thing about me that, like, I'm consistent with. It's that I'm inconsistent, dude. That's the one consistent thing about me is I'm inconsistent.
No, I heard that you were thinking about quitting fighting at one point.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, after they cut me the first time, I was kind of over it. But my wife kind of knew, like, I wouldn't be happy doing other stuff. So she, like, convinced me to, like, move up to Orange County and work with Colin. Because Colin said he wanted me. He was like, all right. Like, after I got cut, he was kind of like, okay, let me try and see if I can fix him, you know? It's like I guess he saw some potential in me and was like, "All right, I'm gonna try to get this dude back to normal."
But I went through the same thing as a comic. I was at one point I was like, "I'm done with this. I want to get a day job and be consistent, you know, my career." My wife was like, "Don't you dare! You're not a quitter." She's like, there's no way you're gonna quit." So she actually kind of had the same thing. And meanwhile, she's always complaining about my job, how I'm like away all the time and this and that and blah blah blah. But then when I was gonna stop, she's like, "Don't you dare!" So
yeah.
What's your wife do?
She stays at home right now. She used to be a battle rapper and a go-go dancer. And right now she like bakes cookies. I swear, dude, she's more famous than I am. Go on YouTube, Google Yumi Doll Rap Battle. She's got like 500,000 YouTube views.
Really?
I swear, dude. I swear to you.
Wow.
She's got blonde hair in those though. So like it looks a little different, but that's her.
Where do you go from being a battle rapper? Like where do you like
Apparently she was like beating all the girls, so like they kind of ran out of competition for her. She like John Jones did real early and was like, "Fuck it, I'm out."
She wasn't taking steroids and like Viagra and stuff, or
yeah. No, she just got to the top early and said, "Fuck it."
Of course. And then she was a go-go dancer. Is that where you guys met?
Yeah. I met her at the club one night, and I was like, "Damn, she's hot. I'm gonna shoot my shot right now."
So what did you say to her?
And I kind of played up the UFC thing to try to get some clout and, like, kind of worked.
That's hilarious. Good for you. That's, of course.
Dude, I worked my whole life to be able to use that line. Bitch, do you know who I am? I'm in the UFC.
Nice.
I worked my whole life to use that line. And then I saw Cody Gibson get beat up after he said, "Google me, bitch." I was like, "Oh, maybe I'll stop saying that."
He didn't get beat up. He, like, went for a double leg in, like, a bar fight that was, like,
Yeah,
it wasn't exactly.
Yeah, against, like, a way bigger dude, but, like, I was just like, "Oh, man," like.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know, like, he didn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't say, "Google me, bitch," and then come out of that looking good, you know what I mean?
Of course. No, totally.
Yeah, like, that was my takeaway.
Now, a couple of your fights, you think the Brandon Moreno fight, you think you just overlooked him?
I mean, honestly, if I'm still being optimistic with my career, yeah, I guess. I didn't give him the respect he deserved. And, you know, I just assumed that he wouldn't know how to grapple like me. I'd be able to get out of whatever he did. So I put my head in, like, I ran a head outside single, which is something that I used to do a lot in, like, wrestling. But it's kind of like a no-no in grappling because you're going to get guillotined. Like, if you do a head outside single, the guy's going to try to guillotine you. And they're, like, in pretty good position for it, you know? But, you know, I broke that rule and I paid for it.
Yeah, well, it's okay. I mean, and then Ray Borg, that fight, the guy missed weight by 4 pounds.
Yeah, I was pretty sick that fight, too. Like, we got in on Friday. I think we got in on Saturday night for that fight. And I was like really sick. Like going onto the plane, I had the chills. Like the plane was super cold for some reason. Like my corners, they were buying me blankets, trying to cover me up on the plane. Like, but for whatever reason, like I just couldn't get warm, and I just like I didn't have body heat or something. I just froze the entire flight. And so like they go on through the flight, we got to go get water, and it's like a pain in the ass because like no one, like everybody has to go get their groceries and stuff. So I'm like freaking shivering in the car. And then so they bring me back to the hotel room. I shower, I take a bath, I pass out, and I wake up and I'm like, oh, okay, it's morning. I feel a little bit better. And like my whole team is just looking at me freaked the fuck out. And they said like, okay, like I went to sleep on Saturday night. I didn't wake up till Monday. I was like dead for like 30 hours.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And they were all just looking at me like, what the fuck just happened? And like, I was just messed up that whole time. Like I was sick the entire time. Like when I was fighting, like we're like I didn't even work out the entire week. Like I was basically in bed just trying to fight the flu or whatever was wrong with me. We ended up working out like after the weigh-in, trying to like restart my body and stuff. And everything was just like, my muscles were just on fire. Like it was just super hard to do anything.
So what have you learned from all these experiences? Because you've had a lot of them.
I should be less reckless. I got to be smarter, man. I'm just a reckless kid, dude. Like, I don't know. For me, like, to pull out of a fight, it's like you literally have to be able to not fight. So I'm kind of reckless with it. It's not like, oh, can you go out there and still win? For me, it's just like, if I can still move, I want to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, the takeaway from it for me was, like, I mean, I was kind of drunk the entire time, too. I was just like, I was going nuts, dude. I was crazy.
Do you think that's your Hawaiian spirit? I was a crazy man. I feel like Hawaiians are just crazy. Like they'll fight at any bar. They'll drink whenever they want. They'll smoke. They'll have sex. They'll get up at 6 a.m. and do it all over again. Do you think it's just the Hawaiian spirit?
Yeah, like kind of. That's just how it is, you know. Like from like a really young age, we're like raised around fighting. Like it's like a respected thing, you know. Everyone does it. It's just like. It's just part of the culture, honestly. It's like it's a really big part of the culture, and
no, I
had fun. I lived the life. I was about it, you know.
No, I love it. I one time I banged a Hawaiian girl, and she was like, "Is that all you got?" And I was like, "Oh my god!" Like and it really was all I had. So it was like it was bad. It was really bad. But
just feel bad about yourself after. Just got to reevaluate life.
Of course. Now, I mean, what was it like fighting in China? That must have been insane.
That was pretty cool, honestly. It was kind of a culture shock, but, like, it was pretty cool. Like, we went to, like, the black market and stuff where you can, like, haggle for, like, fake Gucci and Burberry and shit. It was pretty fun. I had a good time, I'll be honest. I had a really good time.
Were you the tallest guy in China?
Yeah, like, we went to, like, the Great Wall. Like, they put us up in, like, a 5-star hotel that had, like, this sick buffet for, like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, like, I had a good time, dude. I had a really good time.
Yeah, and you also won, and you beat a Chinese dude. Yeah. Like, were people – now, Chinese people are pretty reserved. Were they booing you at all, or?
They were, like, they were pretty cool. Like, honestly, they didn't cheer for me. They just cheered really loud for him. And, like, I mean, I get it. They want their boy to win. You know, I understand. I'm not the hometown guy. This is their friend. This is their boy. This is the guy who they, like, associate or who they relate to. They want him to win, you know? So I get it. But, I mean, they were cool. They were cool overall. It was just, like, everybody was super nice. But it's, like, yeah, they're going to cheer for their guy because they want their guy to beat my ass. And I was, like,
you took that fight on, what, 1 week notice?
2 weeks, I think.
Wow. Was it hard making weight?
Not at 35. 35 is cake, dude. I mean, and I had just come off a 25 fight at that point. I think I'd fought like 125, maybe like a couple months earlier, maybe like 2 months earlier at most. So I just kind of made 25, so I wasn't that big. I was expecting to go back in to the UFC at 25. So I was just trying to be ready to make that weight. And then like, oh, it's 135 now. I was like, oh, great.
Now, one of the guys you fought, Tim Elliott, he's the weirdest fighter I've ever seen. Like he's always dancing and doing all kinds. Is it hard fighting for a guy like training for Tim Elliott because it's just the stuff he does is so unconventional?
To be honest, dude, it was kind of weird, but it was like kind of fighting myself because I'm a weird ass too. You know what I mean? Like I do all those scrambles and like weird movements and rolls and shit. So it was kind of like getting ready for myself, if that makes sense.
No,
like,
it does.
It was kind of strange. It was unusual, but it wasn't, like, super foreign to me, you know?
Yeah, one of the best fights I've ever seen was you versus Patrick Holohan. Everybody hated you at that arena.
That was pretty wild.
But that must have been I was so proud of you because they brought you in as an opponent and you just went through that dude. What was that like?
That was pretty insane. Going out to another country and, you know, like Ireland, they're pretty biased, you know. And like we knew that going in, like we knew in our heads, like we'd seen how hyped up they were for Conor, and I was fighting Conor's boy. So we kind of knew, like, going in, we're like, okay, we got to be ready, like, to fight the crowd, too. You know what I mean? And it was just, they did not disappoint. Like, they did not disappoint. When I was in the cage, like, you know how, like, you're standing in the cage and you're getting final instructions? Like, the guys are, like, right behind
you. Well, I don't know. I've never did that, but I could, yeah, sure. Go on.
Yeah, okay, well, you've seen it. You've seen it. Like, guys are in the cage and, like, your corner is kind of talking to you. It's, like, final instructions. And like when they were announcing Patty, I couldn't even hear my corner, and they were like right next to me screaming. That's how loud the arena was. It was even like that when I fought Tim. They were so loud, dude. Now Kansas City and Ireland were loud as fuck.
Was your wife battle rapping anybody? Any Irish people?
No, she did not battle rap any of the Irish people. She was at home pregnant with my daughter.
Oh, I would love to see her taking on some of those Irish drunk people. That would have been hilarious.
Dude, that would have been awesome.
That's awesome. So how many kids you got now?
I have just one, just Lucy. She's 3 years old, 3 and a half now.
No, I got a 10-month-old. And my goal is obviously to make my daughter the happiest girl in the world, and I love her to death. I worry that, like, I don't want her to be one of these Instagram hoes or showing her vagina to people or people making it rain on her. Any advice on how to make that not happen?
I mean, mine is 3, so I don't even – I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know how that goes. I mean
– Now, have, like, you said no to your daughter yet? Because I have not said no to her yet.
Yo, dude, I'm trying to teach my daughter to fight. Like, she tries to fight me now. She, like, makes faces at me and goes, "Grr, daddy," when I tell her to do something she doesn't want to do. Like, she knows how to punch already, kind of.
Really?
It's pretty fun. Yeah, like, I taught her to punch, kind of. Like, I, like, hold my hands up for her and she, like, punches. And,
are you going to put her in, like, jiu-jitsu?
Probably. She's a little young still to, like, kind of, like, take instruction.
Yeah.
We have her in ballet right now, so, you know, we might be making a Lomachenko, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, what was it like fighting a guy named Brian To Hang Lam?
Oh, Brian To Hang Lam? Oh, shit. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that was a dude from Hong Kong. He was supposed to be, like, their... He was supposed to be the Muay Thai guy fighting out of Hong Kong. I think his Muay Thai record was like 45-10 or something. And like that was like my second fight. They brought me. That was when I first started getting flown around. A promotion called PXC. They're based out of Guam, and they held a lot of events in the Philippines. They flew me out because Harris Sarmiento was my training partner. And he was their champion at the time. So they started incorporating me and giving me a shot. And I went out there and I fought Brian To Hang Lam. And I basically just did my best to get him to the ground and, like, not let him back up.
Have you ever been to Guam?
I've not been to Guam. No, I've not. But it's basically
Guam. Guam has, like...
I've heard it's just like Hawaii. Like, they called it poor man's Hawaii.
Beautiful. When I was there, I was like, huh. But there's like 15 strip clubs in this little island.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think I went to every one of them.
Baller.
To the point where at the end, I gave a stripper a lap dance. That's how bad.
Yeah,
it was a good
time. That's a good night.
Oh, it was a good time. And then I went home with her, and then she wouldn't hook up with me. I was like,
odds, bro.
Yeah, I was like, blue ball forever. And my friend banged the week before I found out. So I was just taking L's all night long. So who do you want to fight next?
Well, we're actually in talks right now. I believe I got the fight. So I can't actually say anything because the UFC gets the first word. Like, once it starts going out, I can say stuff. But, yeah, maybe fight news soon. I think we got the fight.
And the fight would be where?
I don't know. What am I allowed to say? I don't even know what I'm allowed to say. I'm trying to violate copyright.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Good. All right. Look, so is it a wrestler? Is it a striker?
I want to say it's a finisher.
Okay, good. There we go. A challenge. You always up for a challenge, man.
You're Dude, I love to... challenges.
Yes.
That's look, basically what I get up in the morning for. It's like brushing my teeth in the morning. It's a challenge. That's what wakes me up.
Do you and your wife ever role play where you give her like go-go dancing, her like outfits and make her wear it and stuff?
No, I have not, but that's a good idea for the next Valentine's.
Yeah, seriously.
Yo, I'm about it. I'm about that life. You know what I mean? It's 2019, you know? We're out here bending gender roles.
By the way, I've ran into you like 3 times, and I'm always like, come to the show. You're like, I'll be there, man. What time? And you've never come. Once.
Bro, all right, okay, so the first two times, okay, I was sick as fuck. That was the time in Vegas when you invited me for the Ray Borg one, and I was not getting out of bed, dude.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Okay,
like, that one wasn't happening. The second one, I got the shit kicked out of me, and I was getting stitches.
But then the other one, was that...
Yeah. I'm sorry, dude. We were babysitting. Our friend got fucking plastered, and we had to babysit, and it was a mess, dude. We were in that... What is that place in Vegas? It's called like Blueberry Hill or something.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it was a mess in there. She was like stumbling, slipping, like fucking bonking heads. Dude, it was bad. Like, my bad, bro. I've just been, dude, Vegas
you,
is like.
Are you in Vegas for Fight Week?
Ooh, no, I don't think so. But
well,
I might
I'm,
go out.
I'm in Long Beach like every week.
All right, what?
At the Laugh Factory. I did a Laugh Factory Long Beach every week at the Laugh Factory.
What day?
I don't know, but next time I come, I'll text you.
All right, shoot me a text next time. Shoot me a text next time.
Well, listen, enjoy your upcoming weekend. Thanks for being on the podcast. Keep up the good work.
All right, Adam. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me on. I'm always a fan of MMA Roasted, dude.
Thank you, brother.
I'll be on your next Twitter comments.
Fuck yeah, Lewis. Take care, buddy.
All right, bro.
Bye. All right, thank you to my guests, Nathan Levy, Eddie Wineland, Luis Smoka. That is the podcast today, and you're getting it because you endorsed me on Rockfin, RockFin/AdamHunter. Tell everyone how much you're enjoying the content. Go to rockfin.com/AdamHunter. Endorse me. Tell everyone how great it is. And if you want to see me, go to AdamHunter.com. I'll be headlining the Stratosphere UFC Fight Week at the Stratosphere Hotel in Las Vegas. So it's called the Strat now. That's on Fight Week. So check me out there. Thank you guys so much and have a great day. Traps on some traps. Traps on some trap. Don't some trap. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дур булаа. Даа дэ стоотан дур булаа мөрөө.